giving. Glad you're here with us tonight. As you can see behind me, we will be celebrating communion together here in just a few moments. But before we do that, I'd like to share with you a fairly brief devotion. And it's a devotion that came out of my own devotional time with God just earlier this week. I got alone with God probably around 6:30 in the morning, either Monday or Tuesday. I got my Bible. Got a devotional, Jesus Calling, that I read through every now and then. Got my trusty journal. One thing led to another, and it brought me to the scriptures that I'm going to share with you here tonight. And the scriptures that I'm going to share with you here tonight are probably most often shared during Easter time. But as I was thinking about what God was sharing with me through His Word, I realized not only that what he was sharing with me was for me, but it was for all of us, really every Christian that walks the face of the planet, and it really does tie in to Thanksgiving. So what I want to share with you then is found in Luke chapter 24. Now, don't put it up on the overhead just yet, and don't open your Bibles to it just yet. We'll get to it in a second. Let me give you a little bit of background here. Jesus had just been crucified. You're familiar with that story, correct? I would think so, right? It's the greatest story ever told. He was in the grave for a few days, and then early that first day of the morning, first day of the week morning, however you want to say that, he rises again. And that morning, the ladies, including Mary Magdalene, went to the tomb. Of course, they had no idea that he had already risen, so they go to the tomb with spices to anoint his body for a proper burial. They get to the tomb, and what do they find? The rock is rolled away. The body is gone. Now, put yourself in their shoes for a second. They had just gone through, personally, because they had such a close, loving relationship with Jesus, they had just gone through hell on earth. I don't think that's too dramatic to say. The last 3 days, they, along with the other disciples and the apostles, were probably very fearful for their own lives. Were they going to be arrested? Were they going to be thrown in prison? Were they going to be killed because they followed Messiah Yeshua? And now they're simply going to anoint the body, as was Jewish custom, and the body's gone. I could imagine a brokenness. I could imagine a sadness, a sorrow, a confusion in the hearts of these ladies. Well, God saw their condition, and he sent a couple of angels, blazing white. And the angels saw them. And the angels said to the ladies, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is risen." Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So the ladies couldn't believe their good fortune. They run back to the 11 apostles. At this point, Judas had already killed himself. And so there was 11 left. And they tell the apostles, "Hey, Jesus is risen." And at least some of the apostles thought they were a little loopy. Maybe the heaviness of the week finally got to these ladies. But Peter and John, if you remember, they ran to the tomb. John was younger, a little bit faster. He gets there first. They walk in, and sure enough, the body's gone. And the grave clothes were folded, placed a certain spot there in the tomb. Jesus was indeed risen. Well, what's interesting is there were two other disciples, non-apostles, but other disciples that followed Jesus. We don't know both of their names. We do know one of them. His name was Cleopas. And these two men were walking on a road to the city of Emmaus. You had no idea that all this went down right down the road, did you? Okay. It wasn't Emmaus, Pennsylvania, just like he wasn't born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I know some of you are probably a little confused about that, but I'll straighten that up for you tonight. We're talking Emmaus just outside of Jerusalem in the land of Israel. They're on their way to Emmaus, and they're talking about everything they had just witnessed, everything they had seen, everything they had just been through. When all of a sudden, another man walks up to them while they're on the road.
And the other man asks them a question. What are you guys talking about? And they look at this guy and they say, are you the only one who doesn't know? My version of that would be, have you had your head in the sand for the last week and a half? Where you been, buddy? And they began to tell this man what happened to Jesus. They told him that there's talk that he's even risen again from the dead now. It's hard to believe. Well, the man looks at these guys and he kind of shakes his head. He says, in essence, why are you so dull in your understanding? Let me tell you what exactly was supposed to happen and what exactly did happen from the prophets of the Old Testament. And the man began to teach the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. When they got to Emmaus, he made like he was going to keep going a little further, but they invited him to come to dinner with them. Let's pick up the story. Luke chapter 24, I believe we're starting in verse 29. We could put that up on the overhead. But they, meaning the two disciples, urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared and vanished from their sight. I'm thinking of the Amplified Version. It uses the word vanished there. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, that is the apostles, and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So this guy who's walking with Cleopas and his friend was Jesus himself, risen from the dead. Could you imagine the reaction? You think you're blessing some guy who's new to Emmaus and new to all of these things that have been going on with a nice meal, and it turns out that it's Jesus himself. And they look at each other when their eyes finally opened and they understood, my goodness, this is our Messiah. And they said, weren't our hearts burning within us? Didn't we know something was different when we were talking to him along the way? I think that if we came face to face with the risen Jesus, we'd probably feel the same thing, don't you? Something would be burning inside of us. So they immediately get up, they run over to Jerusalem. They're already talking about Peter, realizing that Jesus is risen. They share their story with the apostles and the other disciples who were in the room. Once again, much like the ladies, think about this moment. Put yourself in this event. Everything they had just gone through, everything they had just experienced, their lives are at stake, they're living in fear, and all of a sudden, he is risen. The man who for at least a couple of days they thought was a complete fraud was indeed the Messiah, the one that he claimed to be. I bet you when they were sharing those testimonies, Peter seeing the risen Jesus, the two to Emmaus seeing the risen Jesus, I bet you the place was electric. Well, let me tell you, it was about to get a whole lot more electrified because take a look at what happens next in verse 36. Luke 24, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So here they are, they're talking about Jesus, the place is electric, and Jesus himself walks into the building. Man, he was the electrifier. And there he is standing in their midst, and he looks at them, and he says, peace be with you. It's an incredible story. I think sometimes, especially as you're walking with Jesus for a while, and you read certain scriptures, or you hear them preached a number of times, they become kind of common. They become kind of rote. And don't ever let the Bible become like that to you. The Word of God is alive. It's living. It's breathing. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And sometimes it is helpful for me to put myself there. Man, the place was electric when Jesus walked in. indeed he is risen. So what's the point, and how does this all tie into Thanksgiving? Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's not easy to give thanks. Have you ever been there before? Maybe life hits you upside the head. You ever been hit upside the head by life? Yeah, it's not always a fun feeling, is it? Yeah, Lord, do that again. I really enjoyed that. No, we'd rather not deal with those types of things, whatever those types of things are. And sometimes it's hard to see the forest through the trees. We're wrestling with this. We're struggling with that. Money is tight. I think of Paige and Dave and the fact that he's in surgery right now and nobody expected it to happen. It's hard sometimes to give thanks. But verse 36, I think, is a key thought in all this. I know it's easier said than done. But at the end of the day, no matter how bad or how tough it gets, we always have something to give thanks for. And you know what that is? It's the presence of Jesus and the fact that the presence of Jesus brings peace. Take a look at what Jesus says here. First of all, he himself walks into the room. The very presence of God in the risen form of Jesus the Son is literally standing in the midst of these apostles and disciples. And what's the first thing he says to them? Peace be with you. Jesus said something about peace. My peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. He does not give as the world gives. Peace, where the presence of God is, there is peace. That's what I think the whole point of the devotional was for me earlier this week. And I think that's the point that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to each one of us tonight. If you are born again, if you are a son or a daughter of the living God, the presence of Jesus is with you all the time. By the very promised Holy Spirit who indwells us. You know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. If you're born again, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Where you go, the Spirit goes, because he literally indwells you. He lives within you. And where Jesus is, where the Spirit is, there is peace. I want to encourage you tonight. There are times when we go throughout our day and it's easy to tap into the presence of God. It's easy to tap into the peace that Jesus brings. There are other times where it's not so easy. You have to fight through life. You literally have to carve out. I'm already starting to think about turkey. You have to carve out time. You have to carve out place where you go to behold the presence of God. Open your word. Grab a journal. Grab a devotional. Spend some time in prayer seeking the face of your Lord and your Savior. We live very busy lives. And I think it's only going to get worse. I don't know if you remember this. It was way before I was born, but there was a thought that with the advance of technology, this is going back 40, 50, 60 years ago, the work week in America was going to drop to 30 hours. That hasn't happened. In many cases, depending on a person's job, it's increased because now you can take it with you. You go on vacation, and what do? You go to work. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of hours of vacation that, A, are not used by people in America. It's paid vacation, and they don't use it. Or, B, if they do use the vacation, they work when they're sitting on the beach or whatever they're doing. To me, that's insanity. I think I might keep hitting my head with this phone, right? It gets busier and busier, and there's more and more stuff that has to be done. We have to carve out that time where it's us and Jesus, because the promise is his presence and his peace. We can be thankful that we have a Savior who loves us so much that he died for us, and now he's living for us within us. And it's a peace that he brings that passes understanding. we do have a lot to be thankful for. So I guess that's how I'll close as we get ready to take communion. Two thoughts. Number one, keep seeking the face of Jesus. Never give up. Never throw in the towel. Allow His peace to saturate you. And number two, let's be thankful for that. Amen. Amen. William, I think we're going to take communion here tonight. So we have a couple of, okay, we got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Amen. So Tara's going to come up on the keyboard. We got, I just want to make sure I got everybody. So we got four, two on a side. This is wonderful. You do not have to be a member of this church to share communion with us. The only thing I would ask is that you'd have a relationship with the risen King, Jesus. And then what I'll ask is, as we distribute the elements, if each of us could hold the element, the bread and the cup, until all have been served, then we'll come back and pray together. We all know the story, don't we? It is the greatest story ever told. During supper, Jesus took the bread and he broke it, saying to each of his disciples in that upper room, "This is my body broken for you." Every time we are to eat it, we are to do it in remembrance of who he is and what he's done. And not only that, but just a reminder, as Paul brings out, when we take communion, it's also a proclamation of the fact that Jesus is returning again. We're proclaiming it to each other tonight. Jesus is coming back. We're proclaiming it in the heavenly realms to every angel and also every demon. Jesus is King and he's returning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you so much for obeying your Father, for laying down your life, laying down your body, allowing it to be broken for us. We remember you, Jesus. We remember who you are and what you've done, but we also know that you are coming again. And we would say with the scriptures, "Come, Lord Jesus." Let's eat the bread together. After supper, he took the cup. And he said to his disciples, "This is my blood, which is shed for you, not just for you, but for the sins of the world." The scripture says in another place, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." And thank God, Jesus did it once and for all. We don't need the blood of bulls or goats any longer. We have the blood of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, your shed blood was shed for the sins of the entire world, regardless of race, creed, or color, status. Thank you. Thank you for the shed blood. It's purchased our salvation. And Lord, as we celebrate communion here tonight, we also look forward not only to your return, but to the day that we sit with you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll dwell in your presence forever. Let's drink together. Just go ahead and take a moment thanking him, praising him in your own words tonight. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Can we sing the chorus of "Worthy is the Lamb" one more time? I think that's appropriate at this point. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this chorus through one or two more times. Then we'll come back and close together in prayer.